With Auburn seemingly shifting gears at quarterback, should KJ Lacy be the guy?
In a world full of podcasts, he's the undisputed heavyweight champion of hot takes, an Auburn sports homer, master of the book, and message board legend. Get your buttons buttoned and your hats flattened, because the Top Button Podcast is about to kick off, and you don't want to miss your courtside seat. Now, here's your host, Charlie Fine.
What's up? We're back. It's another episode of the Top Button Podcast. I'm your host, Charlie Five. Happy Thursday. We're going to talk, still going to talk quarterbacks. We're going to talk quarterbacks. Auburn seemingly kind of moving on, parting ways with Juju Lewis. Seems like he's going to go in a different direction. Where does Auburn go from here? And does KJ Lacy make sense? I think so. And I'm going to tell you the reasons why. But before we do that, you know, we got to give a shout out to our boy, Ford Stokes. If you're talking about the guy, Ford Stokes needs to be your financial guy. Check him out at Retirement Results, presented by Active Wealth. You can go to retirementresults.com/plan and let Ford do a free portfolio analysis. He'll take a look at where you are, where you want to be, and the steps that you need to get, the steps you need to take to get there. And if your current plan is actually going to get you there. And then he'll make you custom recommendations on how some things you can alter, things you can change, different ways you can invest. He's the guy. He's the guy for you. You're not getting a cookie cutter product. You're getting a friendship. You're getting a custom plan put together just for you to fit your needs. So check him out at Retirement Results, presented by Active Wealth, retirementresults.com/plan. Ford Stokes is the man. Tell him, War Eagle, tell him I sent you. All right, Auburn seemingly parting ways, and I'll go ahead and say it. I'm not going to say it's going to be. It's like a mutual parting of ways. I don't want to put that out there. It seems like Juju Lewis is going to go in a different direction. We talked about that for a whole show yesterday. So what happens to Auburn now? What's the pivot? I think there's obviously two primary names we mentioned yesterday. So we're going to talk about them. We're going to talk about one today and one tomorrow. And do they make sense? Do they make sense at Auburn? Do they make sense in this Hugh Freeze offense? And just talk a little bit about him. So obviously the first one is KJ Lacy. That's the most consistent name. Anytime you talk about quarterbacks and where Auburn could go if things were not to work out, KJ Lacy, his name's always been there. It's from Saraland, Alabama. You know, Mobile. His name's sort of always been tied a little bit to Auburn, even as a Texas commit. I think there was multiple times, even last year, during his junior year, where I kind of felt like he may go ahead and pull the trigger and flip from Texas at some point last year. I think there was a big deal kind of working on him and Ryan Williams together and Antonio Coleman, and things didn't work out. And Auburn may have stepped back and just reevaluated a little bit. But the communication has always been there. They've always liked this kid. I think he's a really good dude in general. I think he's a really good guy in general. He works hard. I just think he's a sharp kid in general, a guy you'd want to have on your roster just sheerly from character standpoint. But if this was any other year, and KJ Lacy is your number one quarterback, is your number one target that you single out and you get in and you get committed early. If this was the first guy you talk to, the first guy you get committed, if he commits last summer, I think Auburn fans are ecstatic about this kid. I think Auburn fans would be, he'd be one of the higher, up there with your, as far as ranking goes, and we put a lot of stock in rankings, he'd be up there around Walker White level as far as overall composite or industry average rankings. I mean, you're talking about a really high four-star, top 150, top 125 in the On3 industry rankings, top 125 player. You're talking about a very highly rated, a very well thought of four-star quarterback. And I think those are the kind of kids that you have to be able to compete. What a consolation prize after going for, you know, shooting for the moon and going for your big dogs, that, you know, going for a Juju Lewis, going for a Hassan Longstreet. What a consolation prize and what a testament to the relationship aspect of what Hugh Freeze can do to still be able to have KJ Lacy there, seemingly willing to talk to you, willing to hear you out, willing to maybe still want to come to Auburn. I think a lot of guys of that caliber might have been turned off. I don't want to be. I'm number one at Texas. Why would I want to be number, you know, maybe two or three at Auburn as far as in rankings go of desire? Like, you came to me after you missed on two. Why would I want to come there? I think he understands it's a business. And I think you look at the situation he's in at Texas, you got Arch on one side who's about to take over, and then you got Dia Bell, I think, or the five-star 2026 kid. So he's kind of sandwiched in between two phenoms. And he's a good player on his own right, but he's kind of sandwiched in between two phenoms. So does Texas really make the most sense? And is Texas, even though he's their guy, when you have those two guys, are you really willing to go battle to keep him? I think that's something to there's something to talk about as well. So when people say, why would he leave Texas? Well, that's why he would leave Texas. You know, Auburn may need him a lot more there and be willing to battle for him at this point in time a lot more than Texas may be willing to fight to keep him, because of the, like I said, he's sandwiched between two, you know, mega five-star kids that are going to get a ton of hype, and there's going to be a ton of desire to see them on the field as quickly and as long as possible. So he's going to have a very, very loaded quarterback room. He's got a very talented quarterback room at Auburn as well, but everybody's sort of, you know, on a level playing field as far as experience goes. So it could be an open battle, and then you never know what could happen. I wouldn't see him playing year one, but who knows what could happen year two. So top 150 player, I think if you got a top 150 quarterback, you're doing the right things, and this is one of them. Even after some summer camp appearances, you've seen some of the recruiting sites update their rankings. He took a little bit of a drop. I will say this: On Three was very elite 11. They put a ton of On Three's, not the industry average, but their On Three just in general rankings, put a ton of weight on elite 11 performance. I don't think KJ struggled, but he was towards the end of that. But you know who else struggled is Julian Lewis, and his rating dropped pretty significantly as well on Three. So elite 11 was a big deal, I guess. And I think he struggled in the 7-on-7 portion of it. I think he was great pretty much throughout. So it's weird that one day could drop your ranking, but he's still inside the top 250 on Three. And then the industry average, again, he's 120 if you average up all the sites. 247 updated their rankings. I don't think he changed very much on 247. He just been fairly consistent, you know, top 150 player kind of across the board. So I think any other year you're fired up about this kid. So if he were to be the guy, you're kind of being spoiled. You're kind of acting like a spoiled brat if you're disappointed when you get one of your higher rated quarterbacks from a recruiting ranking standpoint out of the last, I don't know, decade or so. I mean, he's a very, very talented, very, very well thought of, seasoned kid. And I think Auburn will be lucky to have him. Another reason that I think it makes so much sense, and honestly, this may be what makes the most sense out of all of it. He is an RPO guy. Like, his whole – the Saraland offense is almost exclusively RPO on about every single play. I want to make some distinct comment here. I see a lot of people in the comments that talk about an RPO, and I want to let you know that the R in RPO does not stand for quarterback run. Almost exclusively, that's the give to the running back, okay? You're reading the running back. You can give it to him, or you can pass if the defense gives you what you're looking at. Aaron Rodgers, almost every snap he runs is an RPO, and he rarely runs. Patrick Mahomes, He does run a little bit, but he's not running 400 plus yards a game. You don't have to have. I see a lot of people say you got to have a running quarterback. That's not true. KJ can move. KJ can move in the pocket, but to be able to make those quick decisions, this is what he does. This is his thing, which is kind of, you know, there's a huge learning curve when you take a kid who doesn't run an RPO system and you put him into one where he has to make a lot of quick decisions all at once. There can be a huge learning curve. Well, seemingly he's already well ahead of the game to be able to, you know, make those quick decisions. He basically does it. That's what he does. That's his whole offense. So you think he sort of comes a little bit ahead of the game. So why it would be at this point that you'd be pushing for him instead of earlier. I guess you want to go big game hunting, but this guy seems like a really good fit from a, you know, just from a scheme standpoint. Again, RPO does not mean the quarterback has to run. It's great if he can, but there's tons of NFL quarterbacks where that's basically the system in the NFL now. There's a ton of RPO, ton of RPO, ton of read. You can give to the running back, or you pitch it out on a quick screen, slants, back shoulder fades, things like that. If you get the look that you want, it's not a read option. Read option is different. A read option offense, you got to have your quarterback being a run threat. You don't necessarily have to have your quarterback to be a run threat in the RPO. There are some quarterback run plays off of that, but primarily it's gives to the running back. The R is the run to the running back. So remember that when you're thinking about RPO. You don't have to have some 6'3", 215-pound running guy. You don't have to have Robbie Ashford to be able to run an RPO. You don't. You just don't. Like I already mentioned, the NFL quarterbacks that have run it almost exclusively for multiple years now. And again, KJ Lacy, I see people talking about his mechanics. Sometimes he'll throw sidearm. Sometimes he'll do this. Sometimes he'll do that. Well, in an RPO offense, you have to get the ball out. Once you make that read, you have to be able to get the ball out quickly. So sometimes that may require you to change your arm angle. That may require you to throw it sidearm, throw it quick. That's not just like the perfect form, and he's able to do it and complete at a very high percentage. And we're going to talk about numbers in just a second. He's able to do that and still complete a very high percentage of his passes. I think this is the most attractive thing about KJ, the fact that he understands the RPO offense. He makes great decisions. He makes consistently great decisions, and he's able to do it at a high level against very, very, very competitive competition in 6A football in high school. And he's done it well. He's thrown, again, we're going to talk numbers in just a second. So I say RPO wizard. I think he's way ahead of the game, way ahead of probably anybody so far that Auburn's targeted as far as understanding the RPO offense. And if you hear Hugh Freeze in a post-game conference talking about offense, last year, one of the most things he was most disappointed with when things didn't go well, when he wasn't calling the plays, is we didn't run enough RPOs. I'm an RPO guy. We didn't run enough RPOs. That's what he wants to do. That's almost exclusively what he wants to do. That's what he cut his teeth on in the SEC. That's what he wants to do. I think KJ would be a fantastic fit for that. I think he'd be an unbelievable fit, and he'd already be sort of ahead of the game. I wouldn't be surprised. Hey, you bring a guy in that can make all the right decisions. If your head's swimming a little bit, even if you got a year under your belt, if your head's still swimming and not making the right decisions, KJ could come in and just from the sheer being able to make the right decisions could jump you. You got to get after it, and he's ahead of the game. So RPO offense, KJ is an RPO guy. I think that could be a match made in heaven. Big numbers, okay? KJ has put up monstrous numbers the last 2 years, okay? And he's thrown for nearly 6,800 yards in 2 years and about 80-plus touchdowns in 2 years. This past season, he threw for 3,400 yards and about, I think, 41 or 42 touchdowns. In the state championship game, he threw for nearly 400 yards, and he's completing close to 70% of his passes. Incredibly accurate. And if you – I've seen people say things like, it's easy to throw bubble screens to Ryan Williams. Go watch his film. Go watch his film and tell me, A, is he only throwing to Ryan Williams? And then B, is he only throwing screens to Ryan Williams or other guys? The answer is no. He throws the ball down the field a ton, and he throws it down the field on the money. Anytime you get a kid that can throw for 3,000-plus yards in high school and 40 touchdowns, you're talking about a stud. Now, I understand Ryan Williams puts a big pressure on high school defenses, so he may open up some things for other players. And he's got some other good players on his team. But you know what? He's going to be the first 2 years he's here, if he plays, he's going to be throwing to really good receivers, okay? So if the argument is he can only throw – if he can only perform because he has elite receivers, well, good news, he's going to have elite receivers when he gets here. Great news. Okay, so checks notes, he can throw good to great receivers. He's going to have great receivers when he gets here, okay? So and if Auburn starts out – well, and puts up a good product on offense, you're going to back up those four dudes that you signed last year, and you're going to get two or three more this year, and you're going to continue to stack wide receivers if you can put a good product on the field this year. So that argument's dumb. If you want to just say, oh, Ryan Williams made him. Ryan Williams had 1,300 receiving yards last year. KJ threw for 3,400. Okay, so no, he's not throwing only to Ryan Williams. And Ryan Williams, I think, had 19 touchdowns out of 42 that KJ threw. That's a lot. That's about half. But still, it's not it's not all of the production. So that argument is not really, really good. And even if you do want to put some stock into that, okay, he's going to come to Auburn, and for the first 2 years he's going to be here, he's guaranteed to be throwing to Cam Coleman, Perry Thompson, Malcolm Simmons, as long as he's on the field and they're here, that's who he'll be throwing to. And not to mention, what if you bring in a Caleb or a Caleb Cunningham? You know, what if you flip a Derek Smith and you add those guys to the mix? Now you're talking about stacking up big time receivers. He's going to come here. He's going to be throwing to great receivers. So that's the kid puts up big numbers. He throws the ball down the field. And he's very, very accurate when he does it. And he's done it at a high level for multiple years, not just a flash in the pan. He's done it since he was a sophomore. And he was sophomore, junior years. He lit it up, and he's going to, seemingly do it again. I'll be very interested to see what they look like. They still have another really good receiver. I think his name is Dylan Alfred. Was committed to Ole Miss for a while. Just recently decommitted. Good player. They've got some skill. But I think he's still primed to have another big year at Saraland and challenge for another state title. I think they lost in the state title last year, where, again, I think I mentioned he threw for nearly 400 yards in the state championship game. So the kid knows how to put up numbers. The kid knows how to throw the ball down the field. And I think if you took the situation the letdown of Juju Lewis, and you looked at, okay, Auburn just got a kid who's thrown for nearly 7,000 yards in 2 years and almost daggum 100 touchdowns. I think everybody would be ecstatic if that was your guy. High four-star kid, very well seasoned in the RPO, very, very solid RPO guy. I think that everybody would be extremely excited about it. I see some people talk about his size. He's a smaller guy. Okay, he's probably 5'10 on a good day. So 5'10. Who knows if he's still growing or not? 5'10, maybe 170-ish pounds. He's going to take some time, or he's going to have to beef up a little bit. But it's not the game anymore where it's everybody's got to be 6'5", 220. That's just not the game anymore. I mean, Bryce Young was one of the top picks in the whole draft when he came out, and I think they're almost identical size. He is a smaller guy. Every single snap's going to be out of the shotgun. Everything's going to be spread out. He's not going to have to be dropping back and be trying to look over a big offensive line. He's going to be able to spread and see the field. I just don't think size, it's great. If it's the same person and you can have somebody a little bit bigger, I'll take it. But size is not a requirement anymore in the game. Even in the NFL, size is not a huge requirement. Now you can have guys, if they're smart and they know how to get the ball out, they know how to make the right decisions, basically you can get it done. You can get it done. It doesn't really matter your size. His arm is there. Obviously his quarterback coach his private quarterback coach he works with, that's worked with some of the NFL, worked with a lot of NFL quarterbacks, Daniel Jones, Eli Manning, really raves over this kid. And not the kind of stuff that it's like just the coach gassing up his kid. We're talking about some of the, you know, the best I've ever coached type, language, things like that. It's not just, oh, he's really special, oh, he's really good. It's like, no, this kid may be the best guy I've ever coached. I mean, he may be the best talent I've ever had. And I've had at this age, and I've coached some really good ones. So I get the dismay, I get the disappointment, but I think this kid makes a ton of sense at Auburn, and he could be a big, big addition. And I think he'd be a good player down the road. And, you know, I don't necessarily see him jumping in and starting year one, but he could. Who knows what happens a year or two down the road. And I think kids like KJ, recruits like KJ, and he probably wouldn't have as much pull as a Juju Lewis, but I still think that kids would be excited to play with him. So let's see what happens. Again, I think this is one of the possible directions Auburn could go. These are the reasons why I think he's a good fit. I think he'd be a good fit for Auburn. He'd be a good player for Auburn. And I think it's something to be excited about. So let's see what happens. Again, I wouldn't imagine this goes very long. Definitely not past Big Cat Weekend, but I mean, I'm not 1,000% sure. I wouldn't be surprised if something doesn't happen before Big Cat Weekend. And then it's sort of like, let's get excited and have our quarterback commit at Big Cat Weekend. I don't know if it's going to be KJ Lacy, but I think he would be a really good option, and I think he's gettable. So let's see what happens. I really appreciate it. If you like this video, like it. If you like this channel, subscribe to it. If you want to get in the comments, we had almost 200 comments on the show yesterday. It was awesome. So get in the comments, and I try my best to comment back to almost every single one of them. If you disagree with my takes on KJ, let me know about it. If you agree, you can let me know about it too. You can pat me on the back. So I like that. Follow me on Twitter, @_Charlie_5. We'll be back tomorrow. Probably talk a little Deuce night tomorrow and break that down. So guys, I really appreciate it. Have a great rest of the day, and we'll get at it back again tomorrow. This is another episode of the Top Button Podcast. Stay button.
Thanks for listening, and drive home safely.